fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. African boxing begins the August 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ghana's Isaac Dogbe defends his WBO super bantamweight title Saturday night when he fights Japan's Hidenori Otake at Gila River Arena in the western U.S. city of Glendale, Arizona, located about 20 kilometers northwest of Phoenix. The unbeaten Dogbe is bidding for his third victory of 2018 and 20th overall. In early January, at the Bukom Boxing Arena in Accra, Ghana, Dogbe stopped Mexico's Cesar Juarez in the fifth round. And at the end of April, the 23-year-old Ghanaian scored an 11th-round technical knockout victory against American Jesse Magdaleno in the eastern U.S. city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, Dogbe will be trading punches on Saturday with an experienced Asian opponent. The 37-year-old Otake has won his last 9 bouts, 5 by knockout, and has an overall record of 36 wins and 3 losses. Dogbe says he's not underestimating the Japanese fighter.
I know he's physically strong. He's got nothing to lose. He's going to count everything that he's got, throwing punches from all angles. But we are ready. We've sourced him out. We've seen the things that he does right and the things that he doesn't. So we're ready to play on his weaknesses and his strengths. So August 25th, we're looking forward to knocking him out and then moving on.
Isaac Dogbe will get some good television exposure on Saturday. His fight will be broadcast on ESPN, one of the big cable TV sports networks here in the United States. And on the same Arizona fight card, Mexico's Rey Beltran will defend his WBO lightweight title against Puerto Rican boxer Jose Pedraza. Like Hidenori Otake, Beltran is 37 years old. He won the WBO title belt in February when he scored a 12-round unanimous decision victory against Namibia's Paulus Moses. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder and unbeaten former heavyweight champion Tyson Fury have announced they'll meet in a title showdown later this year. The announcement was made in Belfast, Northern Ireland, where Fury scored a 10-round points decision victory against the Italian Francesco Pianetta. A date and venue for Fury-Wilder is expected to be announced soon. In Belfast, both fighters said they would win by knockout. First, we'll hear from WBC champ Deontay Wilder.
But that's one thing Tyson Fury has never had. He had many belts, but he's never had the WBC belt. And if he ever think about having this belt, he better wake up and apologize to me because he'll never have this. I can't wait to fight you because I am going to knock you out. This I promise you. Every victim that stepped in the ring, I'd have knocked them out in devastating fashion. You've never been knocked out, but you're going to feel the experience, what it feels to get hit by the bronze bomber.
Listen, you can't knock out or you can't hit bomb. This man couldn't land a blow on me tonight. First of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me the victory here tonight. And second, I just want to say, Belfast, you are beautiful! I love you guys! Every time I come to Belfast, it's like a homecoming. It's like a homecoming for the Gypsy King. And 25,000 people came in here tonight and stood in the rain to witness me fight. I promise you, I'm taking the WBC title and I'll bring it back and defend it right here in Belfast.
That's former world heavyweight boxing champion Tyson Fury speaking in Belfast, Northern Ireland. The Gypsy King Tyson Fury versus the Bronze Bomber Deontay Wilder will be a matchup of unbeaten prize fighters. Fury is 27-0 with 19 knockouts, while Wilder is 40-0 with 39 knockouts. As our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, likes to say, one of those O's has got to go. One of those O's has got to go. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi on Thursday's Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football news, Ghana's head coach Kwesi Appiah has named a 21-man squad for a 2019 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying match in Kenya on September 8th. New Inter Milan signing Kwadwo Asamoah was recalled to the Black Stars of Ghana after a four-year absence. The 29-year-old Asamoah left Italian champions Juventus in May. He last played for Ghana in a 2-1 loss to Portugal in a group stage match at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Now, Ghana's goal in that World Cup match came from longtime captain Asamoah John, who was left off the Black Stars team that will play Kenya next month. Also missing are the IU brothers, Andre and Jordan, who both secured loan moves away from relegated Swansea City in recent weeks. The Swans of Swansea City loaned Andre IU to Turkish club Fenerbahce and Jordan IU to Crystal Palace. Meanwhile, Ghana's head coach Kwesi Appiah also named two players based right here in the United States who compete for Major League Soccer teams: defender Harrison Offal of the Columbus Crew and midfielder Ebenezer Ofori of the New York City FC. Ghana began its qualifying campaign for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament more than a year ago when it trounced visiting Ethiopia 5-0 in Kumasi. The Kenyans, meanwhile, kicked off their Nations Cup campaign with a 2-1 loss to host Sierra Leone in Freetown. The top two teams in this group, Group F, will qualify for the 2019 Nations Cup, which will be hosted by Cameroon. Africa's premier football tournament is scheduled to kick off in June, and it'll be the first Africa Cup of Nations expanded from 16 to 24 teams. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More African football news. Mali striker Abdoulaye Diaby is moving from Belgian champions Club Brugge to the Portuguese side Sporting Lisbon. Diaby signed a five-year contract with Lisbon that includes a $70 million release clause. The 27-year-old Diaby, a striker, told Sporting Lisbon's official website, and I quote, "I'm very happy to be here. This is a great club. And as soon as I heard about the possibility of coming here, I did not hesitate. I know that Portuguese football has great clubs that are always participating in European competitions." Meanwhile, Sporting Lisbon's president, Sousa Sintra, describes Diaby as probably the fastest player in Portuguese football right now. Diaby used his speed to score 36 goals for Club Brugge in 108 matches and he helped the Belgian club win two league titles. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Liberian President George Weah is set to award his former football coach Arsene Wenger his country's highest honor on Friday in the capital, Monrovia. President Weah had a prolific professional football career before turning to politics. His greatest year was probably 1995, when he was named the African Player of the Year, the European Player of the Year, and the World Player of the Year. President Weah remains the only African to win the World Player of the Year prize. And 7 years before that, in 1988, Weah was signed by Wenger when he coached Monaco. The Liberian president is quoted as saying about Wenger, "He took care of me like his son. And besides God, I think that without Arsene, there was no way I would have made it in Europe." Arsene Wenger stepped down as Arsenal's manager in May after 22 years. And in addition to Weah, he's credited with nurturing more than 15 other African players, including Kolo Touré of Ivory Coast and Nwankwo Kanu of Nigeria. Arsene Wenger is scheduled to be inducted into Liberia's Order of Distinction and be given the title of Knight Grand Commander of the Humane Order of African Redemption, the highest rank possible in Liberia. In addition, Wenger is also due to be made a chief by members of Liberia's Arsenal fan club. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to golf, the FedEx Cup playoffs tee off on Thursday in the U.S. state of New Jersey. And American star Tiger Woods will make his first appearance in that tournament in 5 years. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has that story, as well as some tennis news. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tiger Woods is still making headlines following his second-place finish at the PGA Championship earlier this month. Tiger makes his return to the FedEx Cup playoffs for the first time since 2013. Last year, Tiger's career was in question after undergoing a fourth back surgery. But since his return to the sport in November, he's gradually played his way back to form. He's now faced with the prospect of playing in three consecutive tournaments to qualify for the season-ending Tour Championship. Ahead of the event, Tiger said playing at age 42 feels a lot different than 22. And although he doesn't know how many years he has left in his career, he remains optimistic. He also feels, in his words, very close to qualifying for next month's Ryder Cup. Tiger currently serves as Ryder Cup vice captain. But last week, Ryder Cup captain Jim Furyk said Tiger is a strong contender to be named as one of four picks as captain. Furyk made his comments during a stop on the Ryder Cup trophy publicity tour. He said, whenever Tiger is on the golf course, people take notice.
When he's playing well in an event, ratings soar. That's apparent with the PGA Championship. You know, but as a captain, my main concern is filling out our team with the best players. And surely he's playing well right now, and we've got our eye on him.
Furyk keeping his eye on Tiger. It'll be interesting to see if Tiger fills that captain's spot. We'll find out on September 4th. Let's move on from the golf course to the tennis court. The second edition of the Laver Cup men's tournament is set to begin next month, and the first five members of Team Europe and Team World were announced in New York on Tuesday. For Team Europe, Switzerland's Roger Federer, Alexander Zverev of Germany, Gregor Dimitrov of Bulgaria, Belgium's David Goffin, and Novak Djokovic of Serbia. Djokovic, fresh off his men's title at Wimbledon, did not play in the Laver Cup last year because of an injury. But he told reporters he's happy to actually be in the tournament this year.
I watched Laver Cup from my home last year. I wasn't competing. I had the elbow injury that kept me away from the tour. But Laver Cup looked really, really good on the TV, and all the people who were there, who were participating, were saying only nice things about it. It's a new concept, it's a new format, it's a new competition. It's very refreshing. It resembles a Ryder Cup in golf, and carries the name of a living legend, and it's phenomenal. It's just a great pleasure to be part of it.
Team Europe's opponents will be Team World. The players are Kevin Anderson of South Africa, American John Isner, Diego Schwartzman of Argentina, Nick Kyrgios of Australia, and Argentinian Juan Martín del Potro, who is making his first appearance at the Laver Cup.
Well, of course, I watched it at home. I was cheering for Team World, for sure. But now I will have the chance to play and to enjoy a great week with these gentlemen, and we will try to win for sure, but it's not going to be easy for us, but at least we are the tallest team, and that's good for us.
Team Europe claimed victory in last year's inaugural Laver Cup. Roger Federer defeated Nick Kyrgios in the final match. The players were selected based on their post-Wimbledon ATP singles rankings, but there's also a sixth man selected by team captains Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe. They chose Kyle Edmund of Britain for Team Europe and American Jack Sock for Team World. Last year's tournament took place in Prague, and it was such a hit, tickets sold out within a few hours. This year, the tournament will be held in the U.S. city of Chicago, and tournament namesake Rod Laver says he expects the same overwhelming response in America.
Coming here to New York and announce the press conference is really the start of the Chicago event being, you know, the success that Prague was unbelievably successful, and I think Chicago's got the same potential. You know, certainly with all the players, we've got probably the six of the best from the rest of the world and six Europeans that are, you know, playing great tennis at the moment.
The three-day tournament will take place from September 21st through the 23rd, and we'll be sure to keep you updated. That's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And some of those players we heard from in Gwen's report, Novak Djokovic, they have New York on their mind. The U.S. Open will begin next week. It's the year's final Grand Slam. And Djokovic, I expect he'll be contending for the men's title along with Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. And I know Serena Williams will be part of the mix on the women's side. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Street athletics. I think that's the first time I've said that on the Sunny Side of Sports. As the name indicates, street athletics is a track and field competition in which sprint or field events are held on a city street rather than in a stadium, as is usually the case. Some of the biggest stars in international track and field have voiced their support for street athletics. And the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with one of them, the 2012 Olympic champion and world record holder in the pole vault. Here's Andy.
Renaud Lavillenie is one of the great pole vaulters of the modern era, Olympic champion in 2012 in London, and still among the best. But I'd like to talk about something with Renaud, which is an interesting development in track and field athletics. Street athletics, and in particular, the pole vault. It's such a dramatic, exciting event, the men and women, and I think there's something special about being close up in a city square and seeing those vaulters go for it. But Renaud is a man who's done it. Renaud, what's it like to be there and pole vaulting, say, on a street in a city square? Is it very different to being in a stadium?
Well, honestly, it's, it's a totally different competition because when you're in a stadium, you have a kind of, you know, a set which is made every time the same. And for us, you know, especially the wind is kind of a dramatic part. Sometimes it can help us a lot, but sometimes it's just a nightmare. So we have to deal with that. And we all know that now, when we can have the possibility to go out of the stadium in the street, the good part is that we bring track and field, we build pole vault to the people because they are not used to came to see us. So that's a very very good part, and also, you know, having like 1,000 people just next to you is very intense, you know, and give you some. I mean, maybe extra power because we feel the people just behind you, and it's really cool.
Of course, at present, any record set in the pole vault outside of the stadium, say in street athletics, are not officially valid. But if that changes, do you think this could become a bigger feature of athletics? I mean, we do have street athletics competition, sprints and high hurdles sometimes put on, but it does seem to be an interesting way to get the wider public, the general public, attracted to athletics.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, we don't have to, we have to separate. I mean, for me, the real track and field in the stadium with, you know, many thousand people, and is that the way we can spend to fight for the championships medal to be world European, Olympic champion. But the thing is, going into the street is very good for the promotion to try to bring the people to the track and field and show them that it's very interesting, and then they have to come with us into the track, into the stadium. So I'm not a big fan about confusing and having the same performance outside and inside the stadium in the same ranking. But we have to be on the way of the good society, actually, and we have to develop as many things as we could.
Well, Renaud, thank you very much. Fascinating insight from the world's top pole vaulters. Thank you, Renaud Lavallini.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Renaud Lavallini of France, the 2012 Olympic champion and world record holder in the pole vault. And Andy spoke with Renaud in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Kenya's Mary Kaitani says she'll try to reclaim her New York City Marathon title on November 4th. The 36-year-old Kaitani is a three-time New York City Marathon champion, winning in 2014, 2015, and 2016. In 2017, Mary finished second to American Shalane Flanagan, who says she'll be defending her title in New York in early November. Mary Kaitani, for her part, says, and I quote, "I was disappointed not to defend my title last year, but I was not 100% healthy, and Shalane ran a strong race." New York organizers say American Des Linden, this year's Boston Marathon women's winner, and the Kenyan Vivian Cheruiyot, the 2018 London Marathon champion, will also be on the starting line November 4th. And that certainly sounds like an outstanding women's field. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an action-packed photo of Egypt and Liverpool star Mohamed Salah. And let's give props to Associated Press photographer Kirsty Wigglesworth, who took that action shot of Salah. And that wraps up the August 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The political situation in Zimbabwe has deteriorated since the disputed July 30th presidential election, in which incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa was declared the winner over challenger Nelson Chamisa by a narrow margin. The United States is gravely concerned by credible reports of numerous detentions, beatings, and other abuses of Zimbabweans, in particular targeting of opposition activists, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. She went on to say there is no role for violence, intimidation, or harassment in the new Zimbabwe. In another development, Ms. Nauert expressed deep concern over the fact that Zambia chose to hand over former Zimbabwean Minister of Finance Tendai Biti to the Zimbabwean authorities, and in the face of reported Zambian court order blocking his expulsion from Zambia. In addition to being former finance minister, Mr. Biti is a senior figure in the Movement for Democratic Change. This decision is particularly disheartening, said Ms. Nauert, given the courage that Zambia showed in sheltering thousands of Zimbabwean freedom fighters from Rhodesian aggression in the days of Zimbabwe's independence struggle. U.S. officials will be discussing this matter with Zambia's leaders. The government of Zimbabwe is now responsible for Tendai Biti's safety and welfare, cautioned Ms. Nauert. We call on Zimbabwe's leaders to guarantee Mr. Biti's physical safety and ensure his constitutional and human rights are respected, consistent with the rule of law and Zimbabwe's international obligations and commitments. In an effort to register its gravest concerns, the United States convoked the ambassadors of both Zimbabwe and Zambia. A judge has since released Biti on conditional bail. He remains under house arrest. Zimbabwe had a historic opportunity to move the country toward a brighter future for all its citizens, but an electoral process marred by violence that does not respect constitutional rights and procedures is not a step towards that future.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 1730 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, VOA presents a Straight Talk Africa Town Hall special, Martin Luther King, A Global Vision for Justice. Join us as VOA and American University team up to explore the conscious connection between Dr. King and Africa, live from American University in Washington, D.C.
Tune in Wednesdays at 1830 UTC on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
come celebrate the 60th birthday of legendary King of Pop, Michael Jackson, on Wednesday, August 29th, with a very special edition of Border Crossings. Join Larry London as he takes you back through time with a full hour of Michael Jackson's greatest hits. With a career spanning over 40 years, Michael Jackson gave us plenty of songs to choose from. Don't miss Border Crossings on Wednesday, August 29th at 1500 Universal, as we pay tribute to one of the greatest pop stars of all time.